Morning, everybody. Ooh, that's a nice loud sound. It's the Fishman Ministry, South Carolina, and this is our Sunday morning service. Thank you for joining us.
Well, good morning, everybody. I don't have too much to say this morning, but God's good. So, with that, I'm just going to leave it at that. Thanks.
On Thursday night, it occurred to me that I neglected to share with some of the aspects of patients that were most interesting, the most notable. In Romans 5:3, in James 1:3, and in also in Revelations 3:10. The word patience is the same word. It's 5281. It's the character of a person who is not moved from pursuit of a deliberate purpose and his loyalty to that purpose is not swayed by the worst of trials or sufferings or any potential failure that may have occurred in those trials and sufferings. Unswerving, persevering, constancy, endurance, steadfast continuance. And I'll get back to Revelations 3:10. Let's see. So much of the stuff we've been going over relates to our ability to judge ourselves, where we are, how we're doing, and back in Matthew 7, the tendency we have to be led astray by those who have a real good pitch. Sounds good. They look good. Excuse me. Start in verse 16. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. Now, what these things, the fruit of these slick talkers is going to be not love thy brother or love your heavenly father, you know, with your heart, soul, mind. It's going to be to glorify themselves. And you know, this corruption is a corruption of the gospel, the truth of the end of every testimony of the gospel is the glorification of the Lord and the calling to account those who, by hearing of the word, now have to make a choice. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. And interestingly enough, at that point, it goes into not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. This is pretty important stuff. And part also of all the many things we're going through is you have to learn to discern the difference between truth and falsehood. You have to discern you have to be wise in how you apply everything else. We looked a little bit at chapter 6 in 1 Corinthians, and there's a tendency to be swayed by somebody who's got a slick story. Then there's a tendency to be swayed by the worst of the false testimony that comes your way comes your way from the flesh. The flesh is in cahoots with the enemy. And let's look at 6:4. If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren. But brother goeth the law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. Now therefore there is utterly a fault among you, because ye go to law one with another. Why do ye not rather take the wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? That's suffer there means to allow, and it's not actually in the original text. Why do you not rather take wrong? Why do you not rather be defrauded? Nay, you do wrong and defraud, and that's your brethren. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. If you are, and all things are lawful to me, but all things are not expedient, all things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. You know, how we treat one another part of that adhering to all that 1 John stuff, loving thy brother, and if you say you love God and you love not your brother, you're a liar. All this is encompassed here. And this, you know, it may take me to 1 Corinthians 13. I don't know. But this is about how we deal with each other. It's better for me to suffer a wrong than to take vengeance for myself. Let the Lord sort all that stuff out. I'm supposed to, no matter what's done to me, I'm supposed to, if people are acting like my enemies, I'm just supposed to pray for them. Because you're not living their life. You don't know what they're going through anyhow. So you need to extend them grace and mercy, because there's going to come a time when you're going to need it. And people who are loving one another don't treat each other this way. Just don't do it. And go up to 1 Corinthians 13, the Agape Charity chapter. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and I have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. It's interesting that those examples there are stuff other people can see. There's stuff that you do that can impress other people. The next one the next several are not about what's overtly visible to other people. They're about what's going on in here. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, bears all things, believeth all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Now, so many of these characteristics from 4 to 7 are also what we talked about, patience. And this love that took our sins to the cross is also going to be the one that binds us together as a body. Let's look at Revelations 3:10. This is the letter of the church of Philadelphia. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon the whole world, all the world, to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. This is the promise to withdraw the church of Philadelphia from all that tribulation's about to come on the earth. And it's because they've kept the word of his patience. That means all those characteristics, never having swerved, never having deviated, never having abandoned the loyalty and the trust that the Lord has put in them and that they've put in the Lord. That means something to him. It is so important to him that this is what he writes here is going to bring them deliverance from the wrath that's about to come. And there's a lot of comeuppance that takes place to the enemies of the church of Philadelphia. You can go back to verse 7 and see the Lord takes his own vengeance against those that have come against the church. But I submit to you that if you fancy yourself to be in that church, and that's what the purpose of all our preaching and all of our teaching, that's the end point of all that, is to have people who can hang in that church. People who have learned how to love one another. People who know how to bring other people to accountability, to the point of making a decision that doesn't justify themselves, it justifies the Lord. It doesn't glorify themselves, or a minister glorifies the Lord. There is nothing in this to be gained for ourselves that's going to elevate us or change the reward or the inheritance that's given to us. But it is possible that it can change the lives of those who hear. And that's the point here. That's why we do this. And ultimately, we want those that hear to be able to stand when Jesus says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter in the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father." This is not about what it looks like. It's about what we do. How well do we love one another? How willing are we, for their sake, to take wrong? How fast are we to jump into justification of ourselves? Say, "Well, I have a right to do da 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 da." If you don't trust in the Lord for that, it's not worth it. It's definitely against His word. He says, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." Many will say to me in that day, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works?" And then I will profess unto them, "I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Why you do what you do matters. It's like the difference between the wheat and the tares. The wheat points up, the tares point down. If everything you do not serve and please the Lord, and to seek Him first and His righteousness, and let Him be your avenger, let Him be your provision, let Him be your life, let Him hide you in Christ, who is our life. You know, it's up to you to choose this day. Choose as often as is required. That the only thing that matters to you is pleasing Him. It's to choose today that it's better to suffer and be defrauded, the wrong, than to have anybody question God's love, His righteousness, or His character because of how you behave. It's better to be found agreeing with the word. Anyone who says they love God and loveth not their brother is a liar, and the truth is not in him. If we as a ministry and here locally, we as a body are going to do anything for the Lord, we have to get that straight. And we have to get it straight now. And we have to own it and operate in it. But I'm done.